Of course, time we ever played together.
See, I'm retired when I'm 21, or when he's 21.
Thanks for
I will. Yeah, I can use it. Thank you. Let me see if I can do this like this. But I don't need a whole lot of microphone, but I might need some. That looks good right there, doesn't it? It kind of blocks the view of me. How many of you, this is your first time to ever see me? Well, God bless you. Bless your heart. Then that means that for many of you, this is the first time for you to see my darling wife, Mary Ann. She's here with me. Look at my good-looking wife. Now, I'm not here to preach to you tonight. We're just going to have a good time tonight. But I do want to read a verse of Scripture. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." You know what that means? It means laughter does good. Does you good. It does you better than going to the doctor. Just get to laugh every once in a while. And that's what I intend for us to do for the next few minutes or so, is just have some laughs. Now, tonight, like I said, I'm not here to preach. And I'm going to tell you, like Liz Taylor told her last husband, I won't keep you long. Amen. But I'll do my best to keep my part under 2 hours. Would that be all right? How many of you stay here 2 hours? Well, turn the lights off when you leave, because I'm going to be headed back toward LaGrange. But, oh, me. I want to talk tonight about Valentine a little bit. And the topic for my speech tonight is going to be 10 things I have learned about women. Amen. Now, you tell right off the bat, I'm going to need some real men to help me tonight. Are there any real men in the house? Real men? All right. Now, listen, if you're a real man here tonight, I want you to do this. I want you to take your fist like this, go, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. All right, amen. Now, as I go through this presentation, when you hear something that you agree with, that I'm telling the truth on men, I don't care how bad your wife's looking at you. I want you just to go, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Can you do that? All right. If you don't want to do that, just holler amen or something. But we ain't preaching. Let me set this up a minute. Every February across the country, candy, flowers, and gifts are exchanged between loved ones, all in the name of St. Valentine. But who, yeah, amen. Not now, brother, not now. But who is this mysterious saint, and why do we celebrate this holiday? The history of St. Valentine's Day and its patron saint is shrouded in mystery. But we do know that February has long been a month of romance. St. Valentine's Day, as we know it, contains vestiges of both Christian and ancient Roman traditions. So who was St. Valentine, and how did it become associated with this ancient rite? Today, the Catholic Church recognizes at least 3 different saints who were named Valentine or Valentinius, all of whom were martyred or killed. One legend contends that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome when Emperor Claudius II decided that single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families. And he outlawed marriage for young men so he'd have a better crop of potential soldiers. Valentine realized the injustice of the decree, defied Claudius, and continued to perform marriages for young lovers in secret. When Valentine's actions were discovered, Claudius ordered that he be put to death. Now, other stories suggest that Valentine may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape from the Roman prisons, where they were often beaten and tortured. And another legend says that the first Valentine greeting was sent by Valentine himself. While in prison, it is believed that Valentine fell in love with a young girl who may have been the jailer's daughter, who visited him during his confinement. And before his death, it is alleged that he wrote her a letter, which he signed, "From Your Valentine," an expression that is still being used today. Now, although the truth behind Valentine's legend is murky, the story certainly emphasizes that his appeal is a sympathetic, heroic, and important Romantic figure. It's no surprise that Valentine was one of the most popular saints in the Middle Ages. Now, I want you to know that with his one letter from prison that he signed, "From Your Valentine," St. Valentine started a tradition that still befuddles and bewilders men today: the Valentine ritual. Thank you. Men don't understand the Valentine ritual because we do not understand women. When it comes to understanding women, most men are as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Amen. For us men, the confusion began at a very early stage in our development in grammar school. You see, we didn't have the foggiest idea why our mothers made us sit down and fill out Valentine cards. We had no idea why we had to go around from desk to desk and put a Valentine card in, of all things, the little paper sack of a girl. Amen? You know, and we didn't have the foggiest notion why we were asking them would they be our Valentine when we didn't know what a Valentine was. We were confused. Amen. Let me tell you something. My mama was a woman. That was a good revelation to you, wasn't it? My wife is a woman. Been married to her for 31 years now. We have 4 children, 2 of which are women, and we now have 3 granddaughters. So when it comes to understanding women, after being raised by a woman, spending 31 years so far with a woman, raising 2 daughters, and now having 3 granddaughters, I can tell you that I now know absolutely no more about women than I did in grammar school. Amen. A woman is a complicated thing. Women? Women, you confuse us. You do. Now, when I started giving this speech 2 years ago, I entitled it 10 Things I Know About Women. Well, I figure if I only learn 1 thing a year, I ought to know at least 2 more things about women. So I've now expanded it to 12 things I know about women. And I ain't real sure about them. But number 1, I have learned. Now, guys, y'all listen to me. Gonna need your help. And brother, I'm gonna help you. You just listen to me. Now, if I got any other bachelors that's about to get married in the building, you're the only one. This is going to help you, son. I have learned that when a woman tells you that you don't have to get them anything for Valentine's Day, or for that matter, any holiday, just because having you there is enough, that is a lie out of the pits of hell. Amen. Trust me, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Women, I'm telling you, y'all confuse us. If you want something for Valentine's Day, ladies, tell us what it is. Tell us where it is. Tell us what color you want it in and what size you wear. We don't know. Amen. We'll go get it. And please do not confuse us any further by giving us this stuff of, well, if I got to tell you what I want, it doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. Listen, folks, I'm speaking from experience tonight. I once bought my wife a size 20 dress. She has never been a size 20. It looked good on the rack to me. I thought she'll look good in this. It was not a good day around my house. Tell us what size you wear, where to get it at. Even do better, go to the department store and put your name on it. We'll go get it for you. You confuse us, ladies. When you tell us, how do you confuse us? Confuses us when you tell us things that you don't mean. Or when you won't tell us what we don't know because you think we ought to know. Right? Such as, well, if you don't know why I'm upset with you, I'm certainly not going to tell you. How does this make sense? It confuses us, ladies. It's kind of like Jerry Clower's dogs. Y'all remember Jerry Clower's dogs that ate one and his mama throwed the boiled okra out the back door and them dogs were so hungry. And one of them reached up and grabbed every bit of it in his mouth. And it was so slimy and slicky. It went down. He didn't even know he'd eat it. And he thought the other dog had ate it. And he jumped on him. The two dogs went to fighting. And didn't but one of them know what they was fighting about. Amen. You confuse us, ladies. I love you, ladies. Amen. Let me tell you something. Ladies, you confuse us when we tell you that we don't know who somebody is, and you stand there and tell us, yes, we do. I'm here to tell you tonight, it causes permanent brain damage in us men. You wonder why we are like we are. You caused it. This is, as Wendy Bagwell would say, what I'm about to tell you is the truth with my hand up. My wife and I were visiting at my parents' house. My mom and daddy, before she died, they'd been married over 50 years, about 55, something like that. And we're sitting there visiting one afternoon or one evening. And all of a sudden, my daddy gets up out of his easy chair and starts to walk toward the kitchen. Mama said, Bill, where are you going? He said, well, I thought I'd go to the refrigerator and get me something to eat. If I'm alive, I'm dying. My mama looked at him and said, Bill, you're not hungry. Sit down. And he did. Brain damage, I'm telling you. Y'all confuse us. That's why we can't find socks and underwear. It's brain damage. We're confused. Second thing I've learned that who sees a woman get a Valentine is just as important as getting the Valentine. Let me tell you something, brother. I don't know where your little darling works out here, but this is going to help you. You deliver whatever it is to it. But before you take it to her office, you walk it around the parking lot so everybody sees it. You go up and down every hallway, and you go into every office. You rent a marquee that says, Jason got her a Valentine. Amen. I have learned. Now this is really going to help you, son. That a dress, a woman's dress, which fits perfectly when purchased from the woman's department in a store, is not an acceptable Valentine. Ladies, y'all confuse us. You take us into clothing stores, and they have in there Mrs., Juniors, and Petites, which means absolutely nothing to a man. On the other side of the store is the woman's department. My wife and I, now this is a true story I'm telling you, one of the worst arguments we ever got into in our life. We were on vacation up in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, in one of the shopping mall outlets. We went into a Westport store or something like that. It was a ladies' store. And here I walk in, fat, dumb, and happy. On one side, Mrs. Junior's Petites. On the other side, the woman's department. I got to look. I was helping her shop. I was in an extremely good mood. And I looked over to the woman's department. My wife is a woman. It made perfect sense to me, ladies. Perfect sense. Let me tell you something. There is no line in the middle of that store with a sign that says, skinny women buy from this side and fluffy women from this side. There is no sign that tells us that. There is no sign that says men purchase items from the woman's side at your own risk because your wife will think you're calling her fat. My wife at that time had been on a diet for several weeks and lost a lot of pounds. And I went and picked this dress out. And I said, here, try this on. She said, I don't want it. I said, but it's pretty. She said, honey, we'll buy that dress. Why? Because it come from the woman's side of the store. I said, well, try it on anyway. And she did under protest, and it fit perfectly. And she... We almost went home after that because we got in a big argument why she wouldn't buy that dress. They're having their own private car party up here. No, they don't forget, no. Now, let me tell you something, men or women. Now, listen to me, ladies. I'm going to teach you something right here. Men couldn't care less which side of the store their clothes are bought from, just as long as they fit. Amen. And no, ladies, no. Listen to me. Men do not buy clothes with the intention of losing weight to wear it a year from now. We don't have any problem buying a bigger size if we get fatter. Amen. Do what? We went, another argument we got into. I put on a little weight, and I went from a size 19 to a size 20 in the shirt. My wife, for some reason, refused to accept that. I don't know what the problem was. Still don't know today. I'd tell her, baby, the collars are too tight. I need a size 20. You're not a size 20. You're a size 19. No, baby, I'm a size 20. No, you're not. You're a size 19. We went into the store, and I asked the man, I said, would you measure my neck? And he did, and it was a size 20. It wasn't a good day at my house. Amen. Ladies, listen to me. If men go somewhere and see another man that has on the same sports coat, we just think he has good taste. It does not enter our minds to go home in embarrassment and change clothes. Y'all confuse us. And by the way, ladies, do you really think you're the only woman who shops at Wally World? Y'all confuse us. Y'all still love me, ladies? No, you don't, do you? Men, am I telling the truth here tonight? All right. Y'all confuse us. I have learned that a woman's memory of a particular place or event is equated to what another woman had on there. Amen. We can go somewhere, and my wife will say something like this. Oh, you remember being there? We came here 3 years ago, and the pastor's wife was wearing a blue dress with gold shoes and had that gaudy brooch on. I wouldn't have been caught dead wearing that thing. You remember her, don't you? And I said, no. Let me tell you something, ladies. Men remember things, the places they've been, by the meals they ate when they was there. Amen. Yes, sir. I'll remember this place tonight from a good steak we had. I may not remember anything else. Oh, yeah, we ate that T-bone steak up there. Mm, yeah, it's good, too. Me and my brother-in-law, we plan our... We go on vacation with them, my sister and brother-in-law. We'll plan our vacation around eating places. Because we know who's serving what on what night. Amen. Y'all confuse us. Y'all know that. Well, number five, I have learned that when something goes wrong in our household, it's no longer a question of if it's going to be my fault, only how it's going to be my fault. Amen. You wrecked the car. How? Well, I went to pick you up something for your supper. If you'd went and got your own supper, then I wouldn't have had the car out and I wouldn't have had the wreck. Number six is a real mystery to me. I have learned that women do not need a reason to cry. What are you crying about, baby?
I don't know.
Then why are you crying?
I don't know.
Then why don't you quit?
I don't know.
Total confusion. I have learned, number seven, that women are fashion experts and men are fashion challenged. Just the other day, I put on a sports coat, and my wife looked at me and said, "You gonna wear that?" I said, "No, I'm just going out to check the oil in the car, and when I come back in, I'll put on the real one." I put on what she wanted, and everything was happy. Amen. Let me tell you something, though. I am colorblind, light pastel colors. And son, if she wasn't sitting there, this would be some great advice for you, but she's going to hear it, so you really can't use it. But about 28 years ago, I was pastoring my first church, working a bivocational job. I used to sing before 20-something years of hellfire and damnation preaching around any voice I ever had. And we were pretty good. Group I was in, we were legends in our own minds. Amen. But we were opening for the Brown Brothers down in Langdale, Alabama, and they were a very popular local group. And the church I was at was doing the refreshments. And I went to work that day, and so did she. She got home before I did. She went to go help set up the refreshments. The first time she saw me that night was when I walked out on stage in front of 700 folks to sing. She tells me that I had on a brown pinstripe suit with a purple shirt. I'm going to tell you what, I thought I was styling and profiling. I thought I looked good. And I looked at him, I saw my wife sinking lower and lower and lower. I thought, well, what's wrong with her? After it was over with, she got me in the car and through gritted, clenched teeth, she looked at me and said, I'm going to make you a promise right now. I said, what's that? She said, you will never embarrass me like that again. She said, I will from now on, I will lay your clothes out and you will wear what I lay out. It's a wonderful plan, son. All you got to do is show up somewhere looking stupid. And she was. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot who I was talking to. Sam. Woo. I got to go. I got to move off that. If this big boy comes to jump on me, some of you reel me and come help me. I've learned, number 8, that there is a recessive gene in all women that gives them an irresistible desire to groom their husbands at the most inappropriate time and in the most painful way possible. Come here and let me snatch them hairs out of your ears and out of your nose by the taproot. You confuse us, ladies. Boy, I tell you what, I've got to the point I done got so bald that I'm proud to grow a hair anywhere it'll grow. Amen. Leave it alone. True story. Ladies, y'all confuse us. My sister and brother-in-law were driving down the road. My sister spied a hair growing out of my brother-in-law's nose while he was driving down the road. She reached in her pocketbook and come out with the instrument of death. Fingernail clippers. She raised those fingernail clippers to his nose, and about the time she went to clip, he hit a dip and the nose went rip. She cut his nose. Come here and let me mash them blackheads on your face. Ain't no husband of mine going out of here looking like that. And without any anesthesia at all, you proceed to perform open face surgery. And tell me, ladies, why is it that you think we want to see your trophy? You mash and you grit and you groan and then you say, see? I've learned that women ask trick questions. Like, do you like my hair cut this way? No right answer to that. No, if you give the answer no, it implies that, you know, it makes her feel like you don't support her in the decision she has made. If you say yeah, that's the wrong answer because you imply that you didn't like it the way it was before that haircut. Correct answer, Jason, mark this down. No. Here's the correct answer. Me and help me. It's fine, dear. It don't matter if she looks like Bozo the Clown. It's fine, dear. And trick questions like, are you going to be embarrassed by me going out looking like this? Don't even go there. And one of my favorites, do these pants make my thighs look bigger? I like that commercial on TV. You betcha. No implies that she has thunder thighs to begin with. Yes implies she's got mega thighs. Do these shoes make my feet look wider? Oh, just wear the box, baby, and be done with it. I have learned, number 10, that women don't want you to fix their problems. I'll use that one the next time I do this presentation. Number 10, I have learned that women don't want you to fix their problems when they come home complaining about their job, somebody, or something that has happened. Amen. Man came home not too long ago, and she was in rather rare form, and she was really letting it roll about her job, and she was steaming, and I started to tell her how to fix her problems at work. She looked at me, and this is what she said. She said, "Would you shut up?" She said, "I don't want you to fix my problems. I just want you to listen to me." Ladies, if you don't want us to fix it, don't tell us. You confuse us. Amen. Now, ordinarily, that's where I'd start to wind this speech down because I've covered them and I've added two. Number 11, I have learned in 31 years of marriage that I have two options. I can be right or I can be happy. I can't be both. I want you to know tonight, you real men, help me. You're looking at the world's happiest guy. At number 11 or 12, rather, I have learned. Now, men, Jason, you listen real close to me, real close. Hang on every word here, son. If you get up in the morning after you two get married and she's gone to the bathroom ahead of you, and you come by and you hear those four dreaded words coming out of the bathroom. If you hear this, "I hate my hair," keep walking. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You are not going to win. Keep on moving. Amen. Well, glory. Are we having fun yet? Ladies, I found the reason why we're confused, y'all. And it's in a little writing I'm going to give you. Don't even remember who done this, but it's a little poem about God. It's a conversation that God and Eve were having in the Garden of Eden. Said one day in the Garden of Eden, Eve calls out to God, "Lord, I have a problem." "What's the problem, Eve?" "Lord, I know you've created me and have provided this beautiful garden and all of these wonderful animals and that hilarious comedy snake, but I'm just not happy." "Why is that, Eve?" came the reply from above. "Lord, I'm lonely and I'm sick to death of apples." "Well, Eve, in that case, I have a solution. I shall create a man for you." "What's a man, Lord?" "Oh, this man will be a flawed creature with aggressive tendencies, an enormous ego, and an inability to empathize or listen to you properly. All in all, he'll give you a hard time, but he'll be bigger and faster and more muscular than you. He'll be really good at fighting and kicking a ball about and hunting fleet-footed animals and watching NASCAR races." "Sounds great," says Eve with an ironically raised eyebrow. "Yeah, well, he's better than a poke in the eye with a burnt stick, but You can only have him on one condition. What's that, Lord? You'll have to let him believe that I made him first. And that, my friend, is the truth. Amen. That's why we're so confused. As I begin to wind down and will take my seat very shortly, I want to get serious for just a moment and tell you about my Valentine. For 31 years, she's been my Valentine. And let me tell you this story, and you're going to think I'm lying, but it is absolutely the truth. And I think I shared it during the revival. 31 years ago, or a little about 32 probably, my mama says, all I wanted to do back then was play music and be with the boys in the band. Wasn't studying women. Mama got a little worried. Mama come to me and she said, son, you're spending entirely too much time with those boys in that band. And you need to be dating. About 2 weeks later, I was standing in Bethel Chapel Baptist Church on the stage with my bass guitar strapped across me when in the door walked the most gorgeous creature I had ever seen in my life. I turned to my buddy and I said, who's she? And he said, I don't know. I said, I don't either, but I'm going to get a date with her. I later learned that when she walked in with her girlfriend and spied me, so that was the first time she'd come to our church, that she turned to her girlfriend and said, who is that fabulous hunk up there with that guitar?
There goes the major ego.
Yeah, that was a little bit of ego right there. About a week later, I went to her house to pick her up for our very first date. I'm going to tell you this whole story, and I'll cut some other stuff so I can just go to my seat in a minute. But I come up and I knocked on the door. Her mother was a Pentecostal fire-baptized holiness woman. You do not get any more Pentecostal than her mother was. She wasn't supposed to be watching TV because they don't believe in having TV. But Mary Ann's daddy wasn't a Pentecostal fire-baptized holiness man. So therefore, my mother-in-law had a loophole. Amen. And she utilized that loophole because she liked to watch wrestling on TV. That evening, I knocked on the door and she was all engrossed in Columbus wrestling. And she was sitting there, she was taking the punches and she was throwing them and she was all in it. And she didn't even look up when I knocked on the door. And she just said, come in. Screen door was on, and I opened the screen door and stepped in and stood there a second. And finally, she looked up at me, looked back at the TV, did a double take, looked at me again, threw both hands up in the air and started shouting. She said, well, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. She looked at me and she said, you're the one. I'm backing up. And I said, excuse me, I'm the one what? And she said, you're the one who is going to marry my daughter, for God has already shown you to me. I said, woman, I'm not going to marry your daughter. I'm just here to date her. 6 months later, I made my mother-in-law happier than my wife. When we walked down, when she walked down the aisle, and I took her as my bride. And it was only after the wedding that I discovered that Miss Hale told every man to come to date her that. But that was a lie. That was a lie. I'm getting the look. Amen. For 31 years, she's been my Valentine. She's my Valentine today. I've learned a lot of things about women. Some of them very comical. But I've learned this, that God made her for me. And I don't know what she did that was so wrong that he made me for her. But he did. But he did. That's all I want to say about that. But before I close, Durwood Perry, being the romantic that he is, wrote a poem for Ann and asked me. He asked me, would I incorporate this into my presentation tonight for his Valentine? What a guy, y'all got. What a guy. Amen. So, Durwood and Ann, if you will, I want you to come right up here. And I want you to get where everybody can see you. Now, come on, Durwood. I want you to sit right there. Now, this is his doing, so now I want you to hold her hands, and I want you to look deep in her eyes. Do like Pepe Le Pew here, have the hearts flying back. I mean, this is a serious moment, y'all. See, this is a Kodak moment, see? Yeah. Shh. But Ann, I want you to listen now. Your husband wrote you this real serious poem. Here's what your pastor wrote his wife. See, look at her grooming him. Why did I just... That wasn't rehearsed. That was just that female gene kicking in. Alright, here's his love poem to his wife. Collards is green, my dog's name is Blue, and I'm so lucky to have a sweet thing like you. Your hair is like corn silk a-flapping in the breeze, softer than blues and without all them fleas. You move like the bass which excite me in May. You ain't got no scales, but I love you anyway. You're as satisfying as okra just a frying in the pan. You're as fragrant as snuff right out of the can. You have some of your teeth, for which I am proud. I hold my head high when we're in a crowd. On special occasions when you shave under your arms. Well, I'm in hog heaven and awed by your charms. Still, them fellers at work, they all want to know what I did to deserve such a pretty young doe. Like a good roll of duct tape, you're there for your man to patch up life's troubles and fix what you can. You're as cute as a June bug a-buzzing overhead. You ain't mean like those far ants I found in my bed. Cut from the best cloth like a plaid flannel shirt, you spark up my life more than a fresh load of dirt. When you hold me real tight like a padded gun rack, my life is complete, ain't nothing I lack. Your complexion is perfect like the best vinyl siding. Despite all your years, your age it keeps hiding. Me and you is like a moon pie and an RSA drink. We go together like a skunk goes with stank. Some men, they buy chocolate for Valentine's Day. They get it at Walmart. It's romantic that way. Some men get roses on that special a day from the cooler at Kroger. That's impressive, I say. Some men buy fine diamonds from a flea market booth. Diamonds forever, they explain, suave and couth. But for this man, honey, these won't do. 'Cause you're too special, you sweet thing, you. I got you a gift without taste nor odor. More useful than diamonds, it's a new trolling motor.